I was just telling her, I said, you know, Betty, I look at the people. I look at the youth. I look at the men. I look at the women. I look at the boys. I look at the girls. I see their zip and their zeal. I see thousands and multitudes roaming the earth, just going at a pace that, like wild horses. As a matter of fact, I saw a vision where they rushed into Bethlehem and they were wild horses, just thousands of beautiful wild horses coming across the prairie. Beautiful red roaned and all kind of horses. And here the brethren had to form something around me. They appeared also as horses, as great, mighty, muscular horses, and formed a circle around me to keep me from being trampled to death as they came. But I saw these people, and I told my wife, I said, Betty, they're just roaming the earth. They're little old silly hats with the feathers on it and half nude in part of their bodies, and some in jogging clothes and some in clown-like clothes and some with their eyes painted like lizards and lips like they've been a vampire sucking blood. And I see all of this sort of a thing, and just in a mad rush, packed, just jam-packed together, hungry for pleasure, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, seeking, searching, eating and drinking, adulterous, marrying and giving in marriage. Everything is to the signs being fulfilled. And gullible for the things of the world, spending like a bunch of hungry children, like a hungry baby after a bottle. Not thinking about anything, not caring about anything, rush, run right over you, push you aside to be able to get into a line to eat or whatever. And no respect, no morals, no decencies, no forethought, going to the slaughter. I said, Betty, they've got everything that they want. Modernism, modern trains and buses and boats and plenty of money and education and powdered faces and forms and jogging and pancake makeup and anything to make them look like a movie star. You know, it'll be like a movie star or get their face on TV or in the paper or have whatever it might be, just constantly. I said, but you know, there's one thing. I remember a song I wrote, God is Forgotten, here in this mad rush. And I said, there's one thing that's been left out of their program, and I said, and that is virtue. I said, they've left out virtue. I said, for the beggarly elements of the world and the frivolous nothing, they have lost virtue, which is the pearl of great price. And I said, without virtue, there is no God, and without God, there is no life, because God is the spirit of virtue. And I said, the one thing that God has called us unto is virtue. The Bible said that God has called us unto virtue and unto glory. And where there is virtue, there is glory, which is life. For God is the spirit of glory. And Christ alone, who was the great body and only one of virtue. Ah, the virgins, the 10 virgins, the ones as to the 5 virgins that had all, the others lost their virtue. Jesus, the one of virtue and life, your hope of glory, in that he alone is heir to that glory. And God has called us to virtue and to glory. And the one thing that they didn't care for, and the one thing that they haven't made any preparations to keep, and the one thing they're not careful toward, that's virtue. And without virtue, there's no glory. And without glory, there's no life. For as Jesus said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said, should not Christ have suffered and entered into his glory? And whereas the Bible said, in God's glory, he will not give to another. There's many glories. There's glory of the stars. There's the glory of the moon. A man's strength is his glory. A woman's hair is her glory. And on and on and on. But there is a glory of God, and we have opportunity to have that glory, which is eternal life. The world left it. too much temper, too much evil surmising, too much jealousy, too much fault finding of our brothers, of our sisters, too much envy, too much strife, too much hatred, too much corruption, too much abaseness, too much lust, the covetousness of the world, the gullible desires of the world, our brain, our thoughts, our program, our whole operation of life is out of control. We've let the devil put the wrong program in. Our conscience is tortured and tormented. We're under condemnation from morning till night. The little foxes have spoiled our vine, and our vines have tender grapes, and we don't bring forth any fruit unto perfection. And the Bible said, and this is your fruit, and that is that you bring forth much fruit, and this is your fruit. This remains your fruit, that you ask what you will. Ask what you will, and I'll do it. And we find out that we don't bring forth that fruit. That is, we don't have any faith, because our hearts are full of condemnation. And with the heart man believeth, and God's eyes are throughout the earth, going to and fro in the earth, seeking for the upright in heart to show himself strong in the behalf of them that he wants to give the desires of their heart. For his blessing makes rich. He makes you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He adds no sorrow. He gives you everything that you could wish for, if you seek him and his kingdom first. He runs everything else through the filter of righteousness by the way of Calvary, and then you come to his glory. A Jesus appeared in glory. His raiment shined as the brightness of the noonday, whiter than any fullest soap could wash it, and it glistened like the sunlight on the face of the snowbank. So I said, Betty, the one thing they've left is virtue. And I said, the one thing that they don't have now is life. Because when virtue is gone, there's nothing but a gullible beast attitude and lifestyle to eat, to drink, to marry, to corrupt adulterous generation seeking after a sign. All these things, no desire for the word of God, no desire for the knowledge of God, no desire to grow, because the devil can't have a desire for the word of God and the knowledge of God. He'll shout, he'll dance, he'll sing, he'll do anything. You can work signs and wonders and miracles, anything. You can have all kind it doesn't matter what kind of crusade, what it is, but the word of God casts out the devil. The revelation of the word, which is the Holy Spirit, as to the revealed word, eradicates the intellectual darkness, which is Satan. And he doesn't want that light. And he won't come near that light, because darkness and light hath no fellowship. And he knows that that light torments him. It eradicates him. And he doesn't want you to know anything about God or to grow in the grace and knowledge. That's why they take these things out of school, to where children can't learn about them. And it puts it all into the Catholics' hand, to where the Catholics can indoctrinate them to be an ignoramus, to where there's nothing but a priest that supposedly knows everything, and everybody else goes on, as they say, children, to play and have a good time, and Papa will take care of it. The priest will intercede. And the priest don't do a thing but sit behind the veil, when we know the veil is rent. But the old Babylonian veil is set back there, probably half asleep, maybe drinking their wine and beer while they're behind there. But it's for sure they leave it with an adulterous thing and to fill up with their beer and to guzzle their beer and to do their evil things. And so does the nuns and the others. See, to do those things and go their way, and they don't. And when they have their little mass, they read a little bit of something over here. The whole world has gone down the drain. I saw the vision where they went down the drain. I saw them in this great big sink, and I saw the multitudes as the water washed them as little figures down the drain. And the whole world's gone down the drain. So there's no virtue. Anything. A cloak of maliciousness to cover up even the nuns shaving their head, shaving their hair away, when the Bible said it's a shame for a woman to be shown, to let her be covered, and her hair is her covering, as to the government of God is to her head, and her head is her husband, as to who is the glory of God, which is upon her, and to cut it, to mess with it, to take it off of the shoulders signifies the rebellion of the world, which is as the sin of witchcraft and is idolatry in the sight of God. And the church has lost its glory. Lost its glory, for the glory is to the judgment. The glory of God is to the law. The government is to be upon their shoulders as to the sons of God, which means the controlling government means controlling factor. Like the writer said, and he that is at the, as to the pilot at the control of the wheel, the governor of the ship. But anyway, he turns it whithersoever he will as it he listeth. I said, and Betty, they're gone. There's no virtue. And Satan has worked hard to swallow up, to take everything and try to figure out intellectually how to keep his zombies alive through his medical act as to a reflection of the wonderful understanding of God, and as to turn the people aside, as to eating and drinking and marrying and dozens of wives and husbands and concubines and everything else on the side, and then wealth piled up and have all kinds of securities as to houses and lands and whatever it might be as to securities in the world. And constantly, he has done this to get your mind off of God and then to make you as religious as he can through the thing of Papa taking care of your problems, or that is to say the papacy, which will carry the number 666, or he carries the number vicarious filia dei instead of Christ. But I just told her, I said, and that's the way it is, Betty. They've lost life. They're not even aware of it. But all of a sudden, it's going to dawn on them because America's at an end. Our trip had to do with this. This trip that we went on this time was a positive, profound thing in Revelation that shows it was, as we say, putting the cap on the bottle. So, not walking in Revelation, not seeing in Revelation, not understanding the revealed word, because that's what Revelation is the revealed word. Paul said, pray that God will give unto you the revelation of the word, or the spirit of revelation. And he said, my word is spirit and life. And without that, there is no glory. And he will not give his glory to another. If you're not born again, and you're not bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and members in particular, you don't get this glory. Because he will not give his glory to another. And Jesus said as concerning his own body, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. So when you have your evil minds of surmising, and you always have to evilly surmise and be jealous and resentful and cunning and lustful and careless and unconcerned, gullible for the things of the world and temperamental, backbiters, when you're like that, you don't belong to the mind of Christ, which is the virtue and the glory of the word of spirit and life. You belong to the mind of Satan, and your desire is as to the love of the world. And if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. And your doings will be accordingly as to follow after the things of the world, for the child is known by his doings. So that means that without the mind of Christ, you are not the body. So if the mind isn't in there, you'll never subdue the body. As to a gradual transformation of the mind, a gradual change until the body is fully surrendered as to be the body and bone of his flesh and of his body. And that you don't do that, you're not changing from glory to glory by means of virtue to virtue. And because of that, you don't have the Holy Spirit, and you're none of his. And the Holy Spirit is the oil. The songwriter said, give me oil in my lamp. Give me oil in my lamp. And he said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And if you don't do what I tell you, I'll move your candlestick, which is the spirit of man. So then that means that The world is gone. It's over and it's gone. They're gone. They're blind. And they'll not see when good comes. For the God of this world has blinded their eyes, even their intellectual reasoning, to the extent that they don't search and seek after, neither are they concerned about heavenly things. But we're concerned. Our conversation is to be in heaven. Our mind is to be in heaven. Our thoughts is to be in heaven. Our deeds are to be accordingly. And if you walk after the flesh, which is the bodily desire and the bodily way of life, the bodily ego to project the body, then you die. But to kill the body, to accept the death of it by Calvary, and to put it down, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, the Bible said to equip yourselves with the mind of suffering. He that has suffered has ceased from sin, that is, as unto death. Then remain faithful, hold fast your faith unto the end, and don't cast away your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Hold it fast unto the end, and with this your body. You're gradually subduing your body. Paul said after preaching to others, if I don't subdue my body, if I don't keep it under subjection, I'll become a castaway myself. So no matter how good your testimony is, it doesn't prove anything. The child is known by his doing. Faith without works is dead. So to believe and then to do. And to have, as Paul said, having a will, then to have a performance. And Paul said as to perform inwardly, I have a desire, but as to perform it outwardly, see, I see a law warring against the law of my mind that's in my members, and I don't know how to perform it, oh wretched man that I am. But in Christ, there is a performance. Our body's dead, but his body. And he was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So then, he is our performance, and in him, to love him, to have the mind, to accept the grace, to do our best. Gradually, we perform as to this life being made manifest in our mortal genes. Oh, that is to say, the righteousness of God. Coming into these genes of mortality to eradicate the infiltration until every gene from glory to glory, from virtue to virtue. And then a change as to the ultimatum of the purchased possession in a moment. Thessalonians change in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, at the sound of his coming, the finishing of the mysteries. All right, I want to read just a little bit, and I won't hold you but a few minutes. You're probably tired of waiting. I waited so long in coming. But I did get here, as my brother Junior used to say. God never gets in a hurry, but he always there on time. I'm going to read just a few simple little things this morning, not hold you long, because I was late coming. I've already talked to you some. Said some things that would be good for you to consider, because when the virtue is gone, then God is gone. When God is gone, eternal life is gone, and the light is gone. The darkness is here. In the bloodstream is life. And if the blood isn't purified with a regularity, a germ of death gets into it, then you're gone. Life will withdraw. It cannot abide within a place of contamination. And so God, as to that great virtue of heaven, if you don't have a virtuous body as Mary the Virgin, you don't conceive as to the divine conception. And there's no travail as to self-denial of coming away from the world, going through the valley of the shadows, it is said. And there is no child. Paul said, I travail to Christ be formed within you. And as the Old Testament, as to the law, if there was no child, there was no inheritance. So in that he is your hope of glory, if there's no Jesus, no Christ in you, then you don't have any hope of glory. You don't get anything. The life is in the child, and if the child isn't in your heart, then there hasn't been a conception as to life. And if there isn't, then that means you don't have anything. Let's turn to the book of St. Matthew's and read from chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. And remember, he hath called us unto glory and virtue. If you'll notice on our tracks, some of our literature, This is a standard thing that we have on the track. Perhaps you've read it many times. Perhaps you haven't, maybe you've not even noticed it. But it's a great, mighty thing. And another thing is, as the scripture has said, to observe lying vanities is for one to forsake his own mercy. And Solomon said, all is vanity, 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 and vexation of spirit. And to acknowledge the world and all of its vanities, to desire that, or to behold an opposition of life as to sickness, as to poverty, as to problems, as to these things, to behold them with your eyes as to natural sources, tangible forms of matter, or to acknowledge as to eyes of understanding, then that causes you to be an unbeliever, because the carnal mind is enmity with faith and with the word, which is God. And in doing that, as to that observation of mind and eyes, feeling, hearing and taste, then that means that you are an alien to the great Holy Spirit, which is the world of life. And you're caught in the realms of darkness and death of your own human reasoning. And you're out of control. And because of your observation of those things, to acknowledge lying vanities, to observe lying vanities, then you forsake your mercy, which is in Calvary, is to believing unto righteousness, and as unto all things that pertain unto life, as to the redemption of the body, which is the purchased possession, which comes to us through Calvary, or the shedding of the blood. So observe lying vanities is to forsake your own mercy. But to believe what God said is to become powerful, to eradicate, to destroy, to transformate, to change in your situation, calling those things that are not as though they are, because he said that they are, and by faith they are a profound fact in Calvary. And we read the word as to our thousands of promises. We believe the word, and in the word which is spirit in life, it translates our spirit into its own self. It transformates our mind into its own self and transfigures our body into its own state of being through a process of God. So that means that we don't want to observe that as to lean to our own understanding, but whatever the word says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ every thought, to where it's not us living. For as long as we think, we live. But when we can't think, that's pretty good proof that we're dead. Not us living, but Christ that liveth within us, that the mind of virtue and righteousness as to confidence in God and faith toward the blessings and fellowship of God. It thus live, reign, rule in our body, control our body, and thus we are his very bone and flesh, as toward the change and the wonderfulness of that pearl of great price. Let's read this in chapter 5 of St. Matthew's. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus said here that we should pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Evidently, because he had not yet died for the remission of sin, and the kingdom of God had not yet come. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has come, or the kingdom of God is preached. And as to say, not who shall ascend into heaven to bring it down, go down into the deep to bring it up. Jesus did all of those things. And now the kingdom of God is nigh. And this that we preach is the word as to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is nigh. Now the kingdom of God is at hand. It is now at hand. And this is why the Bible said, repent and believe the gospel. Or receive ye the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is the spirit of Christ. And Jesus was saying, I've not yet died for the remission of sin. So he taught his disciples that I'm going to die, and then the kingdom of God is going to be available to you. Though it's here, he could have said, within me. But when I die, it's going to be in your world, because I'm in heaven and it's yet with me. But when I die, then at that time, it will be in the earth, because the Father is going to reject me. And as he rejects me, his wrath is going to be poured out on me, because whereas I, as he said to Nicodemus, I am in heaven and ye are in the earth, and I'm from heaven and you are from the earth, and I go back to heaven, but you go back to the earth. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Because see, Jesus was, as to that second man Adam, he was the first as to the image in which man was made, which means that in that illumination that was lost had now come back, and man was ready to receive that as to the quickening spirit, because God, having made him out of the dust, elevated him up above the beast level, and then illuminated him with the great, wonderful Shekinah glory of God. Because when he was made equal to the beast as to of the dust, because out of the dust God made the beast, and man was nothing but a mere beast. But when God illuminated him with his great Holy Spirit, he became a God. And Satan misled as to take the weak part of man as to the flesh, and as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as to man representing God, and woman representing man as to the weakness of the fall, then alluring and saying, if you'll let me come into you, I am a God, and then ye shall be as gods. Ye shall know good and evil. But see, they were already gods by virtue of illumination, and already their spirits. and their minds and their understanding was in a spiritual world as to the tree of knowledge, a spiritual thing, which was Lucifer, and as to having known good and then having known evil by being rejected of God and made a rule of the darkness because he tried to magnify himself to an equality of God. And the Bible said the very day that iniquity was found in him, then God put him out, and a third part of the angels rebelled with him. And God, in the time of his anger, created hell for the devil and his angels because he did that. But when God came forth and God created the world, finding the world dark, void, without any kind of form, he said, "Let there be light," and Satan being the ruler of darkness, he found himself there, and he could reflect that light. And in that, he found himself among the beast in the garden. And he took full advantage there in the beast. And the only way that he could have a life greater than that life of the beast was to subdue man. And man was on a God plane and in the image of God. And when he subdued man as through the weakness of man, and yet he did not subdue man in that man was not in the transgression, but the woman. Then when he subdued the man, then when Adam gave place to what Eve had done, though he had not committed the wrong, he did listen to his wife. And in that, God allowed that Adam might be in this world as to the expulsion at the garden, be in this world as to this realm that we're in as to our natural birth, as an Adam all die. And with that, be a beast. And he could watch after his wife like any beastly companion. So it is that Jesus knew that he was still that illumination, as to that illuminated image, as to that Christ that said, "Father, restore me to the joys and the glory I had with thee before the world was." Oh, that is when the Father said, "Come, Son, and let us make a body as in this spiritual image." That is, illuminate this body with your glorified image, which was God. And in doing this, everything was well until he listened to his wife, and then that image withdrew because God cannot look upon iniquity. And then he was saying, Adam, you're lost. Where are you? Where are you? I can't find you because he could not look upon iniquity. And Adam and Eve, feeling the guilt, tried to cover their bodies with the fig leaves, and that wasn't good enough. God was saying, "No, I gave you all of these things for meat as to your bodily appetite for the enjoyment. You wasn't dependent upon these as to a water life. You wasn't dependent upon these things. You were elevated into a spiritual life, and you lived in the spiritual plane." Like Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." See, and like I today, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And my meat is to do the will of the Father and finish the work that he hath given me. And my meat giveth me eternal life and keeps me alive eternally. And though the outer man perish, if I want to starve to death or whatever, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And you cannot kill me because I am eternal. I pass from death unto life because death is in the body, in that the spirit of Lucifer, through the weakness of man, through the tree of knowledge, going down through lust, went into the body, the beastly part, in that sin is in the world, the lust, or that is Eve looked, and the lust of the eyes became the doorway. Anyway, I don't have time to really get into the revelation of this morning, but just saying a few words just to try to explain what I'm saying here. Jesus was, and he was saying, "You're of the world, but I'm not of the world. See, you've fallen to this place, but I, as the Son of God, I haven't fallen to that. And I've come to you, but there's going to be an expulsion. And when I become sin, and I made sin in your behalf at Calvary, after I've done the righteous work for redemption, then I'll become sin. And I will then become the scapegoat. I'll become your sacrifice that you may never have sin again. And I will die out of the presence of the Father that you might eternally live in the presence of the Father. And I will be made sin as to receive the wrath of the Father, while you are made the righteousness of God in Christ, that you might receive the wonderful blessings and eternal wealth of the Father." So he said, "Pray, Father, thy kingdom come." Well, that is, you pray that when this happens, that when the veil is rent in twain as to the separation of the body from the spirit,
He made himself twain too, both the Lord and Christ.
And they knew not that he spake of his body.
And they saw the natural veil rend on earth. It was just symbolic. But anyway, here was a separation to show the separation of your spirit and body, that your body was now dead. The beast's body was now dead.
See, falling from the presence of the Shekinah in the garden, being covered with a covering that's not of me, because he covered them with skins because they had fell to the beast level. He said, now, like a beast, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And Jesus said, you're from the dust. You know, you're the bodily part, and it was made out of the dust, the little house of clay. From that, and as the Old Testament, as we bring it out in the Revelation, as to check, see if the plague is within the walls. See, find out if it is terminal, as to no good thing within the body. And the priests examine it, sleep, get back up, move back into the house after the house is purged with the hyssop, which represented the chemical, as we would use symbolic terminology, because we don't have a heavenly terminology. The measurement of man, whether it's vocabulary, expression, it's a numerical order, whatever it might, it's the same as the angels, the Bible said. So when we think of these things, then we know that the little body lays down and the spirit goes away to, and then it is examined, it goes through the fire, as to Jesus down the heart of the earth, down up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph over his foe. That is to say, he had been examined, the priest going in, and the little body, the plague was not terminal. Now by the body of the Lord Jesus, sin is gone. And we are perfect in our body through him. And so then our spirit can move back into the little house, like in the Old Testament, as to the figure of those things to come, that the Jews being a figure of the spiritual Jew that was to come, and the law being a figure of the great wonderful things of grace that was to come. And Paul said, if there be a change of the law, there is a necessity, a change of the priesthood from law to grace, or that is from priesthood to the ministry. But anyway, just saying those few little things as we go along here to try to drop it in with our thought. So here Jesus is, never having left the presence of the Father, lest you become as a little child. The angel, their angel, never having left the presence of the Father, innocent if they depart the little tabernacle. No, where there's no knowledge of sin, sin's not imputed. Their little angel is still in the presence of the Father. Jesus' body, his angel departed the body, was in the presence of the Father. The whole time in the body, the little angel is in the presence of the Father. Born again, we say. As to eyes of understanding, if you don't come to these things, you'll never see the kingdom of God. I'm looking at the kingdom of God. Revelation, these expressions, the understanding, the mind of Christ, that is the kingdom of God. And you cannot see when good comes. Satan blinds your eyes, the intellectual of the world, that same intellectual reasoning of your gullible desire that causes condemnation, that so resentful, haughty, always finding fault, jealousy, proves that you are a Judas in the midst of the children of God. And if you had the mind of Christ, then you would not have the gullible desires of self-preeminence and trying to undermine and do things that would interrupt God and the church and the minister to find fault, like Judas did and the others that were smitten. And as those as in the days of Moses that offered the strange fire, and God smote them down like that and wouldn't even let Aaron weep for his own sons. See, so Jesus said, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. I'm going to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. You pray now, thy kingdom come. Now when the kingdom come, that this spirit of Christ as the kingdom will enter into the hearts of the people, and within your life, the will be done as in earth, see, as in heaven, or you're made out of the dust. Within you, as to the heart of the earth here, as you're going down on the heart of the earth there, and that the will of God be done, that is, that eradication of death be taken out of your body. That's the will of God, for he's the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. And that with this light from within you will break forth as within these bulbs, within these envelopments here, are as from the filament coming through as to the symbolics, showing all around in the earth, and the curse as that is allowed for by the intellectual darkness, that the darkness will be eradicated and the creatures of darkness driven away, and the briars and whatever will be gone, and the wonderful, wonderful springtime of life will be his, and the birds singing, the flowers
The little poppies putting forth their face, the beautiful roses, the smell of the sweet shrub. See, this is what God is. This is what God wants. We get so frustrated. We say, well, I don't know whether it's God's will to heal me. I don't know whether it's God's will for me to prosper. I don't know what God's will is. Well, all you got to do is look at the sunshine. The Bible said, doth not nature itself teach us? If all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are seen, clearly understood by the things which do appear. If this world is an antitype, if this world is a type of all the invisible things, and even Lucifer a type of the invisible God, which is Christ, as to God veiling himself in darkness or having to come through this veil of vanity to, as the sunshine through the clouds, to eradicate the veil, to bring that life into the earth and to nourish the earth. If that be true, it's very clear what God is. It's very clear what God wants. The very fact that you fellowship God, the very fact that you can break through the clouds as to get into a little plane, go up above the clouds and find yourself up here on the other side of the veil in the beautiful sunlight to where there's not a cloud in the sky. They used to sing that song, I remember. I always liked that song where it says, home, home on the range where the skies are not cloudy all day, where the deers and the antelopes play. Well, that don't altogether hold true because it's so cloudy the whole time we was out there. But anyway, as in God's world, you know, here comes God. We're in a dark, dismal corner. And as Brother Taylor sings, let your little light shine. We light up our candle. You know, we go to sleep. That is, we're asleep. Spiritually asleep. So we do this and we do that and we buy and we sell and we eat, we drink, we go and we work and do all these things because we are asleep. That's the world of sleep and slumber. But then all of a sudden the preacher comes or the spirit moves or somebody comes by that's been praying and all of a sudden we wake up. And when they awoke, the Bible said they saw his glory. And then you wake up and my, you think, my, I've been asleep. Man, with all that junk out there that I thought was something, and here I'm looking at the pearl of great price. See, that is to say, children of God, that when God comes, that's the sunshine coming over the horizon. The great sunlight is peeking over the horizon. And if you keep on, after a while, it'll be high noon, and every shadow will be eliminated in your life, and you'll be in the springtime of life. Because his very presence gives us all things that pertain unto life. Because he is life. I've come that you might have life more abundant. I'm the prince of life. Satan's the prince of the world. I wish we had time to elaborate on that. I stole it from man. But anyway, as to creed is the mystery. Being made us through the mysteries. The revelation or the revealed of the mysteries. So then what is the will of God? Who is God? What is the will of God? We know then that the will of God is life. It's the springtime of life. It's health. It's happiness. His will is to get the parasites away. And he only allows winter because we're so carried away with the parasite. And the parasites is eating the tree up. Like a little thing I heard a long time ago. I might pass it on to you this morning as a thought. A little parabolic thing. I saw it as parabolic. The man saw it as something that was a devastation, but anyway, peckerwood that came pecking on a tree with regularity. The man got so irritated, he was pecking holes all over his tree. And finally, he got so furious, he just killed the peckerwood. Said, he's killing my tree, pecking holes everywhere, hammerhead or whatever, you know. Well, the tree had been strong and healthy as long as the peckerwood pecked on it. But when the peckerwood was killed, then the tree died. And he couldn't put it all together. And that's the way they left it. But they found out that the peckerwood was keeping the tree alive because he was eating the parasites that was infecting the tree. See, and God lets the wintertime come. And he lets the old peckerwood come. See, and the thing is, he is eradicating the impurities of life. He is taking away the germs of death that the germs of life may continue to live. Because there's good angels and bad angels in all things, whether in the world of chemistry or whatever, as to the study of chemistry, as to the chemicals of the body, whatever it might be as in the world, the configuration of life, it is only symbolics or symbols or types and shadows to reveal the invisible world. All of the invisible world are understood by the visible world. So the sunshine is there. It comes, the eradication. The wintertime comes to kill out the parasites, because when we got money, we got appearance, we got youth, we got everything, we also have lust. We have, when goods increase, they that eat them are increased. We are in great admiration. We're young, we're sharp looking. You know, we flip our hair back, whether man or woman, and we flex our muscles, or they roll their bodies around, you know, and they blink their eyes a few times. You know, other man, he speaks his soothing, lustful, deadly words like the bite of a serpent, and the world goes on. See, so then he's after lust, because lust is the nearest thing to virtue. See, it's an antitype, and it's the nearest thing to life, and that's what he lives off of. He lives off of that. And it appears that it's killing. It appears that it's killing. But God is bringing a winter time to really kill the problem. And in the end, it's killed. And the whole thing dies. And yet the root of it doesn't die. As the Bible said, lest he had left us a root. As to the root and the offspring of David, we'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Even Jesus, the root and offspring of David, because he had to cut the tree down. John laid the axe to the root of the tree. As to the old tree of knowledge, to the whole family tree of the generation, all the way back to Adam, the first man, and Adam all died. Cut it down. And so it's cut down. And then in Christ, as to the resurrection, having been delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification, up comes the Lord Jesus in the eternal life, not a temporal life under lust, only symbolic, but on this side of Calvary, a life unto a body that will outshine the brightness of the noonday, even eternal life, eternal riches, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without sickness, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it is a natural sickness as up to our environment, the trees, whatever is around us. And I'm having to say things so fast, maybe you don't understand altogether, but it'll be on tape and you can go back and review it. Take a month or two and get into it. But I'm simply saying that if we know that that is the sunshine, like when they turn these lights on here for the video. See, if the light is too bright, it will destroy the image. You won't even pick up an image. Like when Brother Taylor and I was baptizing and this phenomenal thing happened to show the translation of the church. The sunshine came down and all of a sudden I was gone. I wasn't even there. Brother Taylor was still standing here and you could see him. Very plain. And over here, it was gone. And of course, we could elaborate on that and say some things that might be real enlightening there. But I'm saying that if every time the sunshine comes, then comes the wonderful growth and the warmth of the earth and the little flowers and the sweetness of the odors of the earth and the perfume. God perfumes the earth and everything. It's just so wonderful. Then why is it we don't understand God? If everything is symbolic, why don't we understand God? For God is the great light. They call that the day star. And the Bible speaks of the day star dawning within your heart. Why don't we understand God? Why do we have to wonder about His will? I say to Brother Taylor, Brother Taylor, I'm confused. So, well, what are you confused over? I said, well, I'm confused. I don't know the will of the Son. I just don't know the will of the Son. I said, he would say, well, why don't you know the will of the Son? Well, I just don't know. I got up this morning and it's dark. I don't see the sun. It's cloudy. It's raining. It's hailing. And it just terrifies me. And Brother Taylor, yesterday it wasn't that way at all. It was so bright and cheery. And I just don't know. I'm all confused. And Brother Taylor would say, well, now, I'll tell you what, I'm an authority on that. I'll tell you, I've studied all this, I understand all this, what, of course, Richie really is. You know, and I can tell you, your dark, dismal day of fears and frustration and anxiety and all this cloudy, dreary feeling has nothing to do with the sun. The sun is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It always is burning bright, and it goes, as we say, the world goes around. It goes around the world. It's always the same. And what you are seeing, you're having strong delusions. And there is a cloudy veil of death that's in between. And it can be eradicated. There's two things shown by the clouds. One dark clouds, one light clouds. One a light cloud of refreshing and rain to nourish, to excite you like a little child playing out in the water. And another a dark cloud of storms, of confusion, turmoils, of tornadoes and cyclones and whatever. And there's a continual warfare between these. When the hot meets the cold, the dark meets the light. Then when it comes together, there's nothing but war. That's war in heaven. And when you see that war in heaven, you see it in the natural, you see it in the physical, you see it in the spiritual, all allegory. And at the time of this, at the age of this, at the seasons of this, then you see, when you see Revelation, look into heaven, you understand these things as to the times and seasons, as a watchman of the night. And when you see these, Satan can't see these things. People who are jealous, people who find fault, they can hear you say these things. But they don't see them. As quick as you stop, it goes out. They couldn't tell anybody anything. If they even tried to tell, they'd just stagger and stumble with a few words and be so mixed up they wouldn't know where this is going. See, because it's God speaking to reveal these things. But anyway, in what I'm saying, see, these wars, when you see these at the time of season, that means that Satan has been cast out. Right now, well, let me say it like this. I'm going to have to close. We are at a point right now that if I took time, if he's really hungry and thirsty and I had the time, we just take the time to bring this out, even concerning Israel and some things that's happening, it would be phenomenal because the time is at hand. But can you by that know the will of God? It doesn't matter what problem you have. It's the sickness, it's the poverty. It doesn't matter about your doubt and condemnation. If you are sincere in your heart, if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, that's the day star. And that middle wall of partition between your body, that is the fallen, the lost, back to the beast level. God has come to your spirit. The kingdom is now within you. The day star is there. And forever that light of this wonderful, wonderful thing that ministers to you, it's there. And it ministers so much. Well, Brother Pike, you minister to us. No, I don't minister to you. See, the Bible said it's not the minister speaking, it's God speaking. See, and you have the same God inside of you as I do. Somebody would say, well, what's the difference? Why come he don't talk to me like he does you? Well, it's like a little child that's over here in the cradle. It has the same life of the Father. But why doesn't it know the same thing the Father knows? Because it is the measure of life that must grow. It must be cultivated. It must be cultured. It must be loved. And after a while, that's where the mother and daddy comes in. For after a while, then it can go on its own. It can teach others. It has little children of its own. See, that's the law of reproduction. And that's the law of God. Now, I'm simply saying that I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. Just like any daddy or mother. See, Father, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. And the Bible speaks of the mothers in Israel. And this is for the parents to lay up for the children. Which is sad to say today, they got a little sign that says, I'm spending my children's inheritance. And spiritually speaking, that's exactly what they're doing with their gullible desires. The Bible said they've sold their children for a glass of wine. All right. Anyway, so we know that God is on the inside. We know that this great light is on the inside. We know that at times we are awake and everything is wonderful and we're enjoying everything. And then there's that time of doubt, that time of darkness, that time of natural sleep showing it in a type, you know, and nightmares instead of sweet dreams of paradise. But here we are in all these frustrations, you know, clouds of doubt. And instead of ministering angels of inspiration saying, hey, everything is fine, you're on the mountaintop. You know, here you are down in the valley, but like somebody said, he's also the lily of the valley. Even when the clouds is between you and the great light, when I say you, I'm speaking of the body, Lipar. That's the you. For inwardly, it's Christ that liveth once you're born again. See, and this life is in there, and the clouds of doubt is within my flesh. I see no good thing. The infiltration. Lucifer standing between the body, the dispute over the body, keeping this great light from redeeming this body as to that being the purchased possession, as to the ultimation or the ultimated change. And all those things are going to be, folks. That's your battle. And it's up to you to pray, subdue, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to give place to that great light the more. Let it increase. Feed it, feed it, feed it. Though the outer man perish. And after a while, it'll just change this outer man like Enoch. He walked with God 300 years. And then he was not like that. God took him. See, and he was not under the law, so God took him. Folks, we're not under the law anymore. Not under the law, so God has taken us. But he's taken us as the inner man. And that Shekinah that was lost in the first man Adam, it has come, because it was the first. But since in the earth we reckon for things as to the natural, then it's first, and then that comes second. But in all reality, it says the first or the younger, the elder shall serve the younger. Because in all reality, the first was he, as to the firstborn. He was there before the world ever was. And we were made in his image. So when man dropped to the level of the beast, then that was it until Calvary. And God has brought this inner man again to that wonderful life, cut down the tree of knowledge, done away with that old serpent, a generation of vipers in the tree of knowledge. Here he was. He come through that into man, and man became that family tree of the old serpent. And God cut him down. And now this is the tree of life, even the wonderful tree of life that's in the midst of the paradise of God. So we're called unto glory and virtue, and we could go on and go on and go on talking about this good old way. The songwriter said, let us go on talking about the Lord. And we said so many things here in a compact way that there'd be no way in the world that we could ever explain them. I didn't try to be evasive, but knowing that we just had just a few minutes here to speak to you, I said many things and compacted them and condensed them and set them to where at least there's a sequence in your mind as to what they are. And to write a book on it, to preach a sermon on it, would take many days, many months, many years. Believe it or not, many years. And as the Bible said, if all the things that Jesus said are those things that he'd done, was put in a book, the world itself could not contain the books. And I'm going further than that. The Bible speaks of worlds in the plural. The worlds in the plural couldn't contain it. Someone would say, you mean he did that many things? He did more things. He's done more things than all of the worlds. And when you say worlds, in our galaxy alone, there are billions of worlds. Somebody says, you mean he... Oh, yes. He was here long before the billions of worlds ever got here. And he was billions and billions of years before he ever put a billion in one galaxy, and he's been doing things. And when you think of that in your little finite world, that blows your mind, because you think of 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. But he's not a 1, 2, 3, and he's not an A, B, C. And as we bring out, there is no tomorrow, there is no yesterday, there is no darkness and light. There is but one thing, there is light, as he was, he is, and forever shall be. And as we say a lot of times, where was you before the beginning? And that Genesis means beginning and in the beginning. And I say in the beginning once again to clarify something. That when it says in the beginning, it don't mean God. It means you. You had a beginning. He did not. In your beginning. As the beginning of the world. All right, let's stand together. I hope you can understand what we're saying, because we're not taking, pardon me, much time to explain it. But great is the mystery of godliness. And we are made a steward of his wonderful, wonderful mysteries. Let's sing a little chorus together. So good to be eternal. It's so good to be alive eternally. It's so good to have made it into the kingdom. It's so good to have overcome. And it's so good to have been made eternally rich. And everything, everything eternally belongs to us. It's so good to be in that kind of condition. And that's the kind of condition I'm in because of him. Not because I'm good, but because he's good. The problem with the Jews was they sought it by works as to feeling they were good and did not recognize his goodness, so it wasn't the act of faith. But I recognized his goodness, and because of that I ceased from my own work, and I believed my way unto righteousness. And in believing and confessing and not observing lying vanities as to that which is faulty, that which perishes, but to acknowledge that which is eternal by faith, thus I become eternal with him. And so then he was, he is, and forever shall be. And as he is, so are we. Let's give him a hand.
Well, I'd like to say once again that I'm glad to be back with the folks here at Bethlehem. It's always my pleasure. A little bit tired from roaming so much. I'm not a wandering star. I'm wandering for Jesus. I hold the same orbit everywhere I go. Paul said, when I'm in Rome, I do like the Romans do. When I'm without law, when I come to a place where they're without law, I'm without law. For I made all things for the sake of all men that I might gain some. And nevertheless, he said, though I am without law, as they're without law, I am not without law to God. So I remain in my place, you know. But as to their ritualistics and formalities, as to laws and whatever, so as not to thin, we have to be made all things for all men. Okay, let's sing together, can we? I love him. I love him. All because he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing that together now. The altars are open. I love you. I love him all because that he first loved me, for he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in his love. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, every line. For we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Let's sing another chorus or two before we dismiss. Let's sing this little chorus. They was walking my Lord up Calvary's hill. Can you sing that with me? One morning at daybreak, as the cloud crowd slowly gathered, like a sheep he was humble to his father's own will. So sad was his faith that All the birds hush, they're singing. They were walking, my Lord, up Calvary's Hill. Well, I thought you knew that one. I thought we'd sing that before. But let's sing this little chorus together. Give me another cable. I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home, it was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if carry me home, tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me on. Let's sing this, of course. We'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, we'll overcome. Gonna walk on streets of gold, walk on streets of gold, gonna walk on streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll walk on streets of gold. Sing it with me now. For we'll overcome. We'll overcome, and we'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, then I'll overcome. For we've overcome, we've overcome. We've overcome by sweet Calvary. For deep in my heart I do believe, so I've overcome by Calvary. Oh, you can overcome. You can overcome. You can overcome by Calvary. Rep in your heart, friend, you can believe, then you'll overcome by Calvary. Sing it with me now. For we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. Up in
I can believe, then I'll, oh, one more time, Brian. For we're gonna overcome, we're gonna overcome, overcome someday. Yep, in my heart, I can believe I'm gonna overcome. Gonna walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold. Gonna walk on streets of gold someday. Up in my heart, I can believe. Gonna walk on streets. Gonna see my Savior's face. Gonna see my Savior's face. Gonna see sweet Jesus' face someday. Deep down in my heart, friend, I do believe. Gonna see my Savior's face someday. One more time now. So we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, we're gonna overcome. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb forevermore. You know, the other night I said, well, what do you think about Bethlehem? I said, it's the perfect church. And I know a lot of times people take that and run with it, you know, and they say, them folks say they're perfect. There ain't nobody perfect. Yet I remind you, the Bible said Job was a perfect man. The Bible said, be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. It would be bad for Him to tell us to be something we couldn't be. But we do say that we are the church. We do believe that we are the church. For we believe that His body was the church, members in particular. And Him being the head. But we do believe that we're the church. How do you believe that you're the church? Do you believe that you're the church? And the Bible said, for God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And you confess that you're sanctified. He hath justified, He hath sanctified, He hath predestinated, He hath glorified. So then you believe that God hath made you perfect. Let me see your hands. And you go to church at Bethlehem. So this must be the perfect church. So let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. So don't you ever doubt it. Hallelujah. All right, lift our hands up and let's close our eyes together. Sing that one more time. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that washed away every stain. Just one more time together. And I will praise. I'm going to ask Micah to come and dismiss us if he will. Praise.